are back at it. Welcome to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. This is a road edition. I am currently making my way to Lubbock, Texas. I am in parts unknown, going down I-40, heading that way. But joining me right now is Kyle Porter, fresh off a trip from Florida. You're visiting the mothership of CBS, is that right?
I was. We've been all over the country in the last 3 days. I was in
taking the show on the road, Kyle.
I was in
taking the show on the road.
I was in Fort Lauderdale, meeting up with some of my bosses and editors, and I had a good time down there. It's a really pretty place. It's the town itself is pretty nondescript, but just the weather down there, it's just so much better than Dallas and this part of the country.
Yeah, you could sign me up for South Florida. I could probably do that.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes from Miami.
Yeah, I went to Miami for the NBA Finals the year the Thunder made it, and I didn't want to leave. So I can understand why people like it down there. But it is Kansas. Speaking of non-exotic locations, where I'm at right now, and then Lawrence, Kansas, where the Cowboys are playing this week. Just there's not much to talk about the game-wise, other than the fact that Oklahoma State needs to wake up and play the game.
Yeah, they do. They got everybody healthy. There's really no excuses. I saw that somebody at Cowboys Ride for Free posted Mike Gundy's record out of a bye week, and it wasn't that good. It was like 10-8, or I don't know, something around 500. And I don't know. You got 2 weeks to prepare for Kansas. You got everybody healthy. They're coming off a loss at where were they last week? At Baylor.
Kansas?
Yeah.
Were they? Yeah, that's right. Since OSU was off, I keep thinking like the week before that was last week. Like I keep thinking they played TCU last week. So I'm a little off with the bye week.
But I mean, speaking of TCU, that's what you want to avoid, right? Like you don't want to get yourself into a situation where it's even a one touchdown game at halftime. And yet I have no, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't have any faith that Oklahoma State can keep itself from doing that. Like, I just feel like that's what they do. And that's what they've done going to Lawrence the last couple times and just so far this season.
Yeah. It's to the point where I kind of expect them to be in a tight game, at least through the first half. Who knows about the second half, but we talked about it last podcast, Kyle, the last two games they've been to Lawrence, they've won by a combined 13 points.
Yeah.
And it's not just an OSU thing. Like I mentioned it last week, Trayvon Boykin's TCU almost lost there. Vince Young almost lost there. They won the national title. They had to convert a 4th-and-18 with a minute to go. They were down 3, which is just crazy. So it's really hard to get up for a game in Lawrence, let alone an 11 a.m. game. There'll be about, what were we guessing, 15,000 people there, maybe 20?
Probably
a good day.
Probably less than we'll be at Lawrence Field or at Fog Allen for the Oklahoma State Kansas basketball game.
Well, less than for Midnight Madness.
Yes.
Kansas. Not even playing a game. They'll have more people inside Allen Fieldhouse. So
yeah.
It's really hard to get up for a game there, but I think OSU should take care of business. Do we know if Marshall Aitman's going to play yet? I think that's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing. I think if he doesn't play, Kyle, against Kansas, that you just got to medically redshirt the guy at this point.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I mean, I think it would be surprising if he did. There hasn't been any indication. I think Eddie said he's like week to week now, which I don't really know what that means. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think you have to start looking at, you know, is James Washington even going to come back next year? What's the future look like at wide receiver? And I'm fine with getting him another year, kind of the Phil Forte thing, getting him to a second senior year, I guess.
Right, and I think fans and media are quick to say, oh, well, he has to come back. It's so much more than that, like as far as, we don't know what's going on with his personal life. You know, like Josh, I think back to Josh Stewart. Should he have come out? Obviously not. He wasn't drafted, didn't make a team. Or was he drafted, Kyle? I don't remember. Fifth or sixth round, maybe he got taken. I don't even know if he got drafted.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the point being that, you know, who knows with his personal life if he can even afford to stay an extra year. Obviously, on paper, he probably needs to come back because he's been out this whole year, and NFL guys are very reluctant to take a guy that has the red, what they call the red cross next to his name, you know, the medical injury type players. So, I mean, I think obviously he would probably like to come back, but I think we're obviously too quick to say, well, he absolutely should, because I know he just had a had a daughter as well. So who knows what's going on with him personally. But I think if he does not play against Kansas, it would serve him and Oklahoma State best just for him to shut it down and come back next season.
Well, I mean, I would be pretty surprised if he didn't play this year and then left for the NFL, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd be stunned. But, I mean, I was also pretty surprised that Josh Stewart left. That's kind of the point I was trying to make was sometimes guys are just ready to go, and sometimes they need to go. And just, you know, even if you don't make it to the NFL, you can go make money up in Canada like Darius Bowman's been doing for the last 10 years.
Our guy.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, speaking of Bowman, didn't he have like 300 yards in Lawrence one year?
He did.
His Holy Grail game.
That was I think Bobby Reed threw for like 420 that game, and 300 exactly. I think it was 300 of it was to Darius Bowman. So I don't know if Aqib Talib was in Lawrence at that time, but he was torching Kansas when they were better than they are right now. So,
right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to ask if do you have anything else about the Kansas game, or should we move on?
Well, I wanted to mention our bingo card.
Yes, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay. Props to graphics expert Chris Knox. He came up with a fantastic bingo card that we kind of came up with all the phrases. We had an assist from Kyle Cox on a few phrases, and the thing came out even better than I had envisioned it in my head. I'm eager to play along next Monday.
It's really stunning because next week it's going to be a good week. It's homecoming, West Virginia. It'll be a long press conference, so we might get a real bingo next week in the press conference.
What if Ben like gives us a blackout in the first like 5 minutes? Just we black out the whole thing of art. That'd be so fantastic.
Did you see him tweeting like going rogue on his own Twitter account on Thursday night?
No, I missed this.
But he was at the Stillwater game and he's tweeting about the band, and like, I love it when you can tell that it's definitely him tweeting.
Yeah, it's so obvious when it's him versus when it's not. It's kind of like when, you know, Barry Trammell has kind of like an automated robot Twitter account.
Right.
Just like auto-post stories. But every now and then he'll be like, hey, send me an idea for this story at Barry Trammell email. You can like totally tell it's Trammell, like hopping on his Twitter account for the first time.
Yeah, like
very similar with Mike Gundy.
If there's a Gundy tweet from like his Coach Gundy account and it looks like a text from your dad, that one was him.
Does he sign it like hyphen dad?
Yeah.
At the end, did he sign it like hyphen Mike? That's how my mom will text me, and she'll like put hyphen mom at the end as if I don't have her name saved in my phone.
That's the best. It's so funny.
Yeah, I need to go back and read through those tweets. I'm sure that was fantastic. You know, his son, Gunnar Gundy, is the freshman quarterback at Stillwater. He's starting as a freshman.
Yeah. Kyle
Boone, I might need to do a recruiting profile on Gunnar Gundy soon.
Can you imagine? He just eviscerates Mike Gundy's freshman, high school freshman son on pistols firing.
Break them down.
Okay, let's. We need to talk about uniforms. We need to do a couple different things with uniforms because Kansas is revealing some new threads. I know you want to get to. So let's get to this week's uniform preview, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop Cowboys shop on Campus Corner, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Do you want to talk about Kansas's threads, or do you want to give your preview for what Oklahoma State's going to wear first?
Let's talk about Kansas, then we'll give our picks. I guess they're kind of going old school this week. They're going kind of like, they're very similar to their basketball uniforms, mm-hmm. which I think is a good move, because their basketball uniforms are awesome despite being Adidas. I don't know if I like the overall ensemble. I feel like Kansas's colors, their uniforms should be a lot better than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the helmet, Kyle, like gargantuan Jayhawk. It's not a good look. And
no.
I think it kind of goes back to my point about Pistol Pete, is that mascots in general don't really make great helmet logos. Almost always like a script or lettering looks way better. I can't think of a helmet that I like that has a mascot on it. Most of the ones I like have a script or lettering on it. Boise State kind of got things going with the giant Bronco, and everyone's kind of copied them. But overall, Gargantua and Jayhawk just looks bad. And I think they're better off going back to the Mangino era with their kind of pretty cool KU logo that kind of looks like the New York Giants. So they're trying to mix things up. I don't hate it, but I just think Kansas should always be able to do better than they have.
Yeah, you brought up a good point about their so their uniforms that they're coming out with this week, they're great, but they have this weird like undershirt thing that looks like somebody's like trying to hide against a brick wall. Like it looks like camouflage for like hiding against a brick wall. It's really bad. But Kansas's basketball uniforms, I'm gonna go ahead and say they're the best in the country.
They're pretty good.
I mean,
I can't argue that.
Even though they're Adidas, they keep it. I mean, they've done some weird stuff, and like Adidas always gets silly for like the postseason and everything, but. They're like throwbacks and just different stuff they do. Their uniforms are the script Kansas thing that they wore Jayhawks, I think it was, against Oklahoma State in basketball a couple years ago. It was unbelievable. I think it was when Joel Embiid was there.
They were cream colored.
Yes, they were awesome.
Yeah.
The gray they were. I mean, everything they do in basketball is good.
Yeah, it is, and the thing I like most that they do in basketball, obviously their throwbacks are awesome. We would like to see that with Oklahoma State. But what I really like most is they've kind of kept the overall same look they've had since, like, the Roy Williams era.
Yeah.
But every single year they kind of tweak it just ever so slightly. They add a certain twist to it to where every single year it's almost a new look, even though they keep the same traditional template. And that's something I'd like to see Oklahoma State do, too, because – as much as I loved their uniforms in the mid-2000s when Eddie had it rolling, they're going to Final Fours, their uniform didn't change hardly at all for like 10 years. Like, it was the exact same uniform. So I kind of like how Kansas is able to tweak it while also keeping the same overall look.
Yeah, it's good. They need to get rid of Gargantua and Jayhawk on the basketball court as well, though.
It gets bigger every year. It goes from three-point line to three-point line.
So one year they're going to turn it vertical and it's just going to go like the length of the floor.
One of these years it's just going to be like the Jayhawk's eye. They zoomed in too far, like on your laptop, you know, just the giant eye of the Jayhawk. Now, you and I have talked about this before. Why they have to go back to the state of Kansas with the star on Lawrence?
Oh my gosh.
That was the best.
It was amazing.
That was the best.
I wish Oklahoma State would go what did they used to have that was so good back in like the 50s or 60s on the middle of their four? Was it like I think it was just an O like in the middle?
Maybe so.
Like the O.
50s? Did you watch a few games back then?
Well, yeah, I was into that 1945 national title team. The it was like the O that was on like the old Aggies, like, you know how they have the O behind the Aggies. I think it was that O. Like, that was the only thing in the middle of the court. It was awesome. It was so plain, and it was great.
I could get behind that.
You don't want them to bring back the flaming OSU for the?
No, it's funny you mentioned that. I was at a gas station the other day, and they had a hat with the flaming OSU brand on it, and I thought someone involved with OSU had gathered all of those and burned them to where there was no history of that at all. Unfortunately, there is. But, no, I don't want to see the flaming brand. Kyle, I'd love to see the O you mentioned would be great. I would like to see the Marshall badge at midcourt. Not gigantic like, you know, the Jayhawk, but maybe just the size of the center circle. That would be kind of cool, I think.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
I like that. I think anything you do at midcourt, I think smaller is better. Like Texas has gotten too big with its Longhorn thing. Like keep it simple. Like keep it small and simple. I just think that works better. I don't need to see the multicolored lane that they used to do. The faded black to orange. That was worse than the flaming. That was worse than the flaming brand. So yeah, the badge would be cool. Just keep it small though. Keep it simple.
I like that a lot. I could get behind the badge at midcourt, and it seems like Oklahoma State's kind of making that an official logo. The badge, you know, Mike Gundy was wearing that on his polo this week again.
Yeah.
That kind of leads us to our uniform preview. Do you want me to go ahead and give you my pick?
Do it.
since we're on the topic of the Marshall badge, I'm going back to it. I'm going to go white helmet with the Marshall badge, the black strap down the middle with, like, chrome outlining, kind of like they've done, just reversed from the Texas game where it's a white helmet instead of a black. White jerseys. And I don't know about you, Kyle, but ever since Mike Gundy mentioned the gray and black being, like, a favorite of the recruits, it's kind of gotten in my head a little bit. I kind of lean towards that more often than I used to. So I'm going to go gray pants. I'm going to go white, gray. And there's a long history with Oklahoma State at Kansas wearing gray, Kyle. They've done it, I think, the last couple times they've been there. They've worn some form of fashion, they've worn gray. So I think they kind of go back to that. Well, I'll go white, gray.
Yeah, they wore the carbon fiber helmet up there a couple years ago. I'm going with a white helmet also, the one they wore in game one with the kind of chromed out brand, that first white helmet that we saw this year, and then white tops, obviously. And then I'm going to go black pants. I think they're going to keep it. I think they've gone white black up there a couple times as well. So I'm going to look at recent history and try to plot out this weekend's uniform.
That would look good. And that, Kyle, that actually was my backup choice. Like, if I wasn't picking what I'm picking, I would go back to that original helmet they wore in game one. Same exact combo as you. So I think one of us has a chance to go 3 for 3 this week. I like that pick a lot.
Southwell's
going to look good.
Southwell's going to be off the rails again.
He's going to put out another questionnaire for all the TFB contributors. He's going to be so on tilt, he won't know what to do. He might pick all orange again on the road and get disqualified.
Okay, we're gonna call a guest. It's time for the Coop Ale Works guest of the week. Coop Ale Works, brewing great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the Bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to drink responsibly. We're going to call somebody we talked to. When did we talk to Kyle Fredrickson? Beginning of the year?
I think so. We've called him a couple times over the years.
Yeah, we're going to call him and just kind of get his update kind of on the pulse of the team. He's a lot closer to it day-to-day than you and I are. Definitely me, but probably even you because he's up there a lot. And so, yeah, we're going to see what's going on with him.
Before you call him, or are you calling him right now?
I just hit dial.
Okay. I have a story about Kyle. I ran into him at a restaurant in Oklahoma City, and my dad had his first
Vader.
Hello?
So. Kyle. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
How's it going? Carson was actually just telling me a story about you. You want to finish, Carson?
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Sorry. Hey, Kyle. Carson, I'm on the road On the road to Lubbock, I was telling him how I ran into you at a local restaurant, and, you know, our guest segment is sponsored by Coop Ale Works, and after I ran into you, my dad had his first Coop elevator, and he enjoyed it very much. I don't know if he had any Coops that night, but it was good running into you.
Yeah, I have not had a Coop recently, but I have in the past, and it is pretty tasty, so it's probably a good choice.
Your dad's a Vader guy, Carson?
He tried the Vader. He heard me talk it up all this time, so he saw a sign. It had a sign that said, you know, Coop Ale Works now. We're now serving it, or it's on tap, or whatever. And he's like, "Ooh, that sounds good. I'll have a Vader." we had a good time together.
Kyle, when are you heading up to Lawrence?
In the next few hours. Here, I just had to run a few errands today, so I'm going to get up there a little later.
Okay. Well, Carson, do you want to intro, or do we want to use all of this, or what should we do?
No, I was just asking you some questions.
Okay,
Kyle. How does OSU lose this game?
I think they lose it the same way that they, you know, the same way that TCU almost lost to Kansas. You let this team hang around. You make some mistakes on offense. You throw a few interceptions. You know, this isn't a situation OSU hasn't even been in, you know, in Lawrence the past couple of years. You know, they've only won by a touchdown or less the past two times they've went there. So, this is just one of those games where if you don't play your best and you allow Kansas to hit some big plays on you, if it's close in the fourth quarter, I think that's when people might need to be sweating.
Kyle, you've been around this team, or you're closer to this team, obviously, than I am, and probably Carson as well. What do you feel like is they think is their most vulnerable spot on the team in terms of maybe a position, or is it special teams, maybe like a time of the game? Where do you think they feel like they're most vulnerable?
You know, the one thing I'll give this team credit for, at least in terms of how they view this season, you know, they were one fumble away from beating Baylor and one bad call away from beating Central Michigan. And, you know, they can play the what-if game all day. But at the same time, you know, those are two minor mistakes that would have, you know, if they were corrected, been a 6-0 start for this team. And then the narrative has changed. Then all of a sudden it's, oh, man, look what they're doing once again. You know, kind of getting creative to get these victories, getting some late breaks, just like we saw last season. So in their minds, I think they're as confident as they probably were at the start of this whole thing, especially with the way Mason Rudolph is playing. But when we look at this situation, you know, the one thing I'm starting to wonder about is this OSU defense and, you know, the defensive back's abilities to stop the big play and some of these linebackers' ability to cover receivers. Because, you know, at the end of the day, OSU can't get in a situation where they have to score 45 points every game to win. And if they get stuck in that against some of these better teams, you know, I think that's going to become a problem.
Yeah.
Kyle, before you came on, we were talking about Marcel Aitman, and we both kind of think that if he doesn't play against Kansas, you're better off just taking the medical red shirt and moving on to next year. What have you heard about his situation and just his outlook for the rest of the year?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't actually at the availability on Monday, so I was just kind of going through James Poling and John Helsley, who were helping us out, you know, just talking to Yurcich and those guys. At this point, I think they're being pretty realistic and pretty honest with the media about how, you know, if it doesn't make sense for him to play in these just last couple games, if he's not 100%, they do have to think about the future. And he seems like a guy who'd really benefit from having a redshirt year if, you know, James Washington decides to declare and you lose Juwan Seals and Austin Hayes. There's opportunity for him to really be that star. And I think for any, you know, veteran senior, that's a very ideal position to be in. So it makes a whole lot of sense. You know, they when players are injured, we don't get a chance to talk to them. But I would sure think that at this point, Marcel Aitman's probably realistic about, you know, what the best scenario is going to be because this is his last year.
Kyle, who has emerged this year as maybe like a just a leader on the team that maybe surprised you, either we weren't talking about in the preseason or we didn't really see coming?
Yeah, it's a good question because I think that guy all along has really been Mason Rudolph, and his play has sort of dictated how this team has gone, you know, in his tenure here and his health. And so he's always the guy that gets all the credit, and I think he deserves a lot of it. But defensively, you know, I think there's a lot of guys in you know, that deep rotation of players with Jordan Stearns and Trey Flowers. You know, those guys are veterans. Even a guy like Ramon Richards, just the way that he's able to communicate with us in the media and the way he's able to break things down. I mean, he's a very vocal guy, and I think there is a lot of respect for what he brings to the team in that aspect. Even if he does get beat on a deep ball occasionally. So those are a few guys that I've seen in terms of that leadership deal. But at the end of the day, it's Rudolph's team, and I think he's played like it so far.
Speaking of Rudolph, I saw a stat where he was number two in the country in October for being the most efficient quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield was number one. He struggled in September quite a bit, specifically against Central Michigan. And I think Mike Gundy, I didn't hear this specifically, but apparently he alluded to possibly an injury situation that Mason was probably playing through. Is that accurate? Is that what's kind of what was bothering him more than anything? He's now healthy, or what do you make of that?
Yeah, I think with a lot of these guys, you know, they're nursing a lot of injuries. You know, one thing that I found out recently was that Jeremy Seaton played all of his last year with like pretty severe back pain and had to endure some surgery after the season. So, you know, these guys, I think a lot of times, it's just sort of that culture. You have to play through pain, and Gundy talks about it. And I think in Rudolph's case, that certainly, I think, aided in some of those overthrows. Like I said, I wasn't there at the luncheon on Monday, but from the stuff that I've read and talking to John, it does seem like that's a source of some of those, you know, seemingly just bit overthrows and not being on target with some of his intermediate passes. So I think there's something to that for sure.
Do you think the boom picking stuff is lingering, Kyle? I mean, it sort of got put to bed right before the Texas game. I've heard some stuff off and on, but how much do you feel like that lingers or even internally, like with Mike Gundy and everything?
Yeah, well, the biggest victory in all this is that it seems like they're committed to not making it public anymore, and I think that's the silliest part of all this. If you're going to be dealing with these kind of political issues, why are you going to go play them out in the media? It's like, you know, you hear these sound bites, and even when we listened to Boone kind of spout out before the first game about Gundy, we all just kind of left saying, oh, well, that was predictable. You know, in our eyes, it would have, you know, we didn't think it was that big of a deal because we just have come to expect that from Boone Pickens when he talks to us. So I think we were almost sort of desensitized to it, to maybe what the magnitude actually was, because just with how the things have played out the past few weeks and before, right before it got put to bed. You know, I think that's just an amount of pressure that any head football coach is going to feel at the school, no matter who it is, because you give that guy, you know, one single person so much of a financial influence in the program, you know, a guy who's a harsh businessman. I think you sort of have to expect this after a while, especially for someone who's, you know, like Pickens is getting up there in age. So they sort of created this monster, and, you know, I don't know how bad it is anymore, but like I said before, the biggest victory is that they're not going to play it out in the media, supposedly. What the pressure is for Mike Gundy, it's hard to say. He's been pretty relaxed this year, so I don't know if it bothers him too much.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on that subject, Kyle. Like, obviously, Mike Gundy's done a great job. He's been very competitive with Oklahoma, and obviously winning Bedlam would be the only thing that makes Boone happy. But at the same time, doesn't it kind of fall on Mike Gundy? You have one booster to keep happy. Why are they such why is there such friction between the two? I mean, they both love Oklahoma State. He has one booster he needs to keep happy, that he has not been able to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you're right. If it is just one guy, it would seem like that wouldn't be a big deal. But, you know, it just kind of goes back to what their relationship was, you know, when they brought them out for that spring practice and Pickens visited, and, you know, they had photographers taking pictures of them together on the field, looking over practice, and you're thinking, okay, you know, this is good for the team. They don't need this to be a bad storyline. You know, you figured, you know, maybe this is easy. This is just easy enough to just say we're good now and make a few phone calls and call it good. But there must have been some friction along the way, you know, whether it's Boone's overreach or whether Gundy just doesn't want any sort of outside influence on his program, no matter who it is. You know, these are just two guys with really big egos who are pretty successful in their fields who I think are just naturally going to butt heads. And, you know, it's a weird thing because if the sensitivity is so high that it becomes such a huge problem, then you wonder if that will eventually lead to Gundy's exit. He's been here for such a long time, but from everything else he's saying, he'd like to stay and make it all work. But, you know, we'll see if Boone kind of adheres to that and they can just sort of plug on with the status quo.
Kyle, how are you hanging in there? It's been a long season so far. What'd you do during the bye week? How was the bye week for you?
Yeah, you know, this is my third year doing it, so it does get easier to kind of do all the travel and do all the writing and balance the days that you're working and that you're not working. But the bye week was good. You know, I really want to thank the AFCA for giving this team the national title in 45, because I've been spending some time reporting on a story for that I'm going to have at some point this week. So did a little bit of side reporting and also just watched some games. I think what people don't realize when you work as a reporter, the thing that sucks the most is you can't watch any other games on Saturdays, really, other than the ones you cover, you know, because you're either getting ready for the game or you're reporting after the game. And that takes up all day. So those, you know, those late afternoon kicks and some of those evening kicks, you don't get to watch them. So just to sit down and like enjoy that was sort of refreshing, even though, you know, your life just sort of becomes consumed by college football when you make that a habit.
Can you give us a quick preview of your story on the 1945 team? Have you broken down the head to head matchup versus Army? I know Army beat Germany on the road.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. It's you know, there's some contention there, and funny you say that, because my story is about a couple guys who I found who were on that team and sort of visiting with them and learning sort of really who they are. They were both pretty confident. They thought that team was pretty good, and they were. You know, you could make a real strong argument for Army, you know, maybe there was some home cooking going on with giving A&M the title over them just because they are the, you know, considered one of the best teams ever in college football. But hearing sort of these guys explain that season and who they were then and who they are now is real fascinating. So it should be a cool thing. I think people will enjoy it.
Yeah, that's awesome. We want Army. We want Bama. Kyle, be safe going up to Lawrence. We look forward to reading your stuff up there, and appreciate you coming on as always.
Yeah, no doubt, you guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you later.
Yep, see you, Kyle.
Okay.
We've got all the Kyles. We got Kyle Porter, Kyle Boom, Kyle Cox, Kyle Fredrickson.
It's really an epidemic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
all the Kyles.
It's insane. Whenever Kyle Cox and I kind of linked up for him to, you know, talk about coming over to contribute to Pistols Firing, I was like, I mean, can we have another Kyle? Like, this is going to get so confusing.
isn't the Van Valkenburg ESPN writer named Kyle too?
No, that's Kevin, which is my brother's name. Dang. So that's
okay.
also confusing.
Okay. There we go.
Before we move on, what kind of coupe do you think Kyle Fredrickson drinks?
Oh, he strikes me as a horny toad blonde kind of guy.
Yeah, that's
like the light beer,
yeah,
light color beer.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Kind of strikes me as he's very chill. Seems like a chill kind of drink to drink outside. He probably hangs out on the patio, horny toad.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know. Yeah, like he's young and fit. Like he's not like doing anything heavy, I don't feel like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm talking about
him. He was roommates with Anthony Slater, who just moved on to Golden State Warriors beat. Slater and him were like opposites. Like Kyle was the kind of the chill one, while Slater would just go out and do DNR probably. So
like it's a drug.
It was always fun to hang out with those two. Yeah, do DNR. I didn't mean it like that. Just he would get after it a little more wild than Fredrickson.
I'm excited to read his 1945 Oklahoma A&M story.
Me too, man. Bring on Army. I read they're going to give out. They're possibly going to give out two trophies. You know, OSU already has one. They're going to give Army one. I say let's play it out. Let's compare the resumes. Let's have a reenactment. We'll go recruit a Bob Fenimore reenactment. Who would be our Bob Fenimore? We have to find maybe Dylan Stoner. Once he heals up, he could be our Bob Fenimore. Do a reenactment. I wish you could take Army nowadays.
Austin Hayes,
the blonde bomber.
Yeah, because didn't he play quarterback in high school a little bit?
I think so. Yeah.
Bob Fenimore was.
That'll be interesting to read, and I want to learn more about it because just the blurbs I've read are unbelievable. How many guys were, you know, wartime veterans playing college football?
Yeah,
pretty crazy.
It's a different time, and it really is fascinating. I made fun of a bunch of OU fans for coming at me on Twitter with Army's strength of schedule from 1945, which they deserve to be made fun of. But it really was. It was so different. They were playing teams that we've never heard of that don't even exist anymore. And, it really was a different era. Okay, we got...
Well, real quick, one of our photographers at Channel 5, he helps us out with high school football on Friday night. His name's Sam Musney. He played football at OU in the early 70s. He texted me whenever the news came out that OSU had won the title. He said that, you know, they beat St. Mary's in the Sugar Bowl. Apparently, back then, St. Mary's was like the hub of the Navy. So he said they were a really good football team. So, like, back then, like, whoever was closest to the military bases, if you were Army and Navy, you were really, really good. So that just kind of illustrates how different of a time it was back then.
Yeah, and then they had to wait until Patty Mills got there to get famous again as a athletic program. Didn't Patty Mills go there?
Yes, he did. It's a great call by you. And they had some big guy that took over March Madness a year or two ago. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Someone will tweet us.
Yeah,
sure.
I vaguely remember that. Okay, I want to talk about one or two more things, but first let's go and hear from Chris's University Spirit, our sponsor this week. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, last thing. Did you see your boy, Tony Allen, was voted on by NBA GMs as the toughest player in the NBA?
First team all defense. Yes, I saw it. And I loved it. I mean, there's no other choice, is there? I mean, he's the grandfather for a reason. He has created an entire culture and identity for the Memphis Grizzlies franchise. He has. And he's not even like a superstar. That just goes to show you how tough the guy is, how likable the guy is. And it's been fun to watch his career play out, Kyle. Like, I kind of expected him to play in the league for 10 years. I didn't know how good or bad he would be. I actually kind of thought Joey Graham was going to be a superstar more so than Tony Allen. But It's been fun to watch him play in the NBA all this time. And he really kind of carved out a niche for himself.
Well, it sounds like Brad Underwood could hire him as like an assistant coach whenever he's done with his career.
He is an everyday guy, yeah. Tony Allen.
So culture of defense. I mean, Brad Underwood is locked into this this making Oklahoma State great again thing, you know, like making GIA great again. Like he's in, Tony's in, I'm in. I'm fired up about basketball season.
I would like to see Underwood put on the shorts, like embrace the grind, just kind of borrow Tony's grind, grit and grind mentality.
Yeah,
and kind of make that a mantra as well as the everyday guy thing. But that, it's kind of funny. This is how old I am. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, coaches and programs are always looking for ways to connect, like recruiting to the pros. I think that'd be a great way to do it.
That'd be awesome. This kind of shows how old I am, but every day, back when Tony was in school, he and I had classroom right next to each other, and he'd always be walking by me with his headphones on, rapping to Jay-Z, and now he's been in the league for about 15 years, so I'm dating myself here. But I was actually watching the Thunder the other night, Kyle, and John Lucas III was playing for Minnesota against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's... If you had told 2004 Carson that he would have a longer, better career than Joey Graham in the NBA, which is true, I would have been floored. Because, man, when I watched Joey Graham play back in the day, he looked like a multi-all-star to me. I know someone was going to guard that guy at the next level. Too big, too strong, too athletic. So it's crazy that John Lucas is still in the NBA and Joey Graham's not.
We need to get Joey Graham on the podcast. He'd be interesting to talk to. Or Stevie.
Yeah, Stevie, I guess, is an assistant with the Denver Nuggets. So Stevie had a longer career, too.
Stevie might have some,
that's even crazy.
Some LeBron stories. Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, he might. Get him on.
Okay, you got anything else? Did you see the Alabama A&M line this weekend?
Alabama's favored by what, like 3 touchdowns against the number 16?
Yes, the number 16 in the country.
It's crazy.
Parody.
Should we even play out the rest of the season? Or?
I mean, that's I know that A&M's overrated, but, like, come on. That's ludicrous.
Hey, Trevor Knight is undefeated against the SEC, Kyle. he was in Norman on Saturday.
I saw that.
Rocking an OU polo. Do you think – I was trying to think of transfer OSU quarterbacks. If they would come back and be welcome with open arms like that, I don't know.
Dax, Wes Long?
Yeah, I don't think Wes Lund will be roaming the sidelines with an OSU polo. But it's funny, like, all the bowl projections have A&M versus Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. So that'll be interesting if they end up playing each other.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But before we go, Kyle, we gotta play my Warrior poem. Glenn Spencer tweeted out a novel this week for KU. He's pulling out all the stops in Lawrence. And I had to pre-record it because there's no way I could read all this and be on the road at the same time.
You would add a rack.
Yeah. I've even updated the music. Since it's such an epic poem, I needed some more epic music. Do you want to go ahead and play that?
Yeah, let's go ahead and play that, and then we'll come back and end it.
Welcome to a Warrior Poem KU. Title: A Story About Cowards, Heroes, Boxing, and Heart by Sean Glaze. Boxing for Coach Barcells is where you find examples of men whose lack of heart shows up in their ring behavior. Quitters, he says, act like they are fighting hard and are trying to win, but have really given up internally. Barcells says they've just chosen a way out that's not apparent for the naked eye. They are more concerned with public opinion than the end result. Vito Antuformo vs. Cyclone Hot. When the fighters were back to the makeshift locker rooms, only a thin curtain was between them. Hot's room was quiet, but on the other side you could hear Antuformo's corner talking about who would take the fighter to the hospital. Finally, he heard Antuformo say, "Every time he hit me with that left hook to the body, I was sure I was going to quit. After the second round, I thought if he hit me there again, I'd quit. I thought the same thing after the fourth round. Then he didn't hit me no more." At that moment, Hart began to weep. It was really soft at first, then harder. He was crying, because for the first time he understood. Antuformo felt the same way he had, and worse. The only thing that separated the guy talking from the guy crying was what they had done. The coward and the hero feel the same emotions. They are both human.
Okay, that was awesome. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm just presuming that it was awesome. So yeah, that's it. What time is the OU Tech game?
7 o'clock. It's a night game in Lubbock where it is not for the faint of heart.
Oh, do you have a helmet that you're wearing?
Yeah, I'm gonna try and pick one up at a store or something. I might just borrow a helmet from OU. Although I'm probably better off with a Texas Tech helmet. That way I don't get pelted with anything. But I'm making my way there now. Have you ever driven to Lubbock, by the way?
One time I dated a girl from Tech and went out there for something. I can't remember. I don't know why I was out there. It was a wedding or something.
I have a great joke I won't tell.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
But I kind of equate it to like Mad Max Fury Road. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Well, let's take off the old Mad Maxes. You probably haven't seen that one either because you don't watch movies. But
correct.
There's just roadkill about every mile on the mile. There's species of roadkill that hasn't been discovered yet. And there's tumbleweed, there's wind, there's energy fans, it's wild. So I hope I make it there in one piece.
Some of energy fans, also known as windmills.
Yes. I see him in the distance. I couldn't think of the name. So Boone Pickens will be upset with me on that one. They're not called windmills, are they?
I don't know.
I'm thinking like old school windmills. Windmills are like the old school windmills. These are like energy wind fans. I don't know what
it's called. It's getting...
I'm driving. I'm driving here, so my brain's not quite operating 100%.
No, it's Boone Pickens is making money as you traverse the plains of West Texas. But hey, you've got some time to listen to some podcasts. Maybe even leave a review on this podcast if you feel like it. You can pull over and we've really appreciated everybody leaving reviews on ours and rating it. It's very helpful for getting the word out. And enjoy Lubbock this weekend. You got anything else?
Yeah, just reiterating what you just said. Like, give us a review, rate us, give us 5 stars, 1 star, whatever you like, as long as you give us a rating. And it's been fun, Kyle. I was in Stillwater for the Iowa State game, and I had people come up to. I was doing radio on the Sports Animal. I had a bunch of Pistols Firing podcast fans come over and say hi. So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
I just want to thank everyone for listening. And if you ever see me in Stillwater, flag me down and tell me you listen. I love hearing that. It's been fun to see the podcast take off.
I actually should be up there next weekend for homecoming, so hopefully we've got an announcement about that soon, and it'll be a good time.
Well, hopefully OSU beats Kansas and then gets an undefeated West Virginia. That'd be a lot of fun for homecoming. All the Red Bull with Dana coming down.
Let's do it. Have fun in Lubbock.
All right, man.
Talk to you later.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you next week.
Okay.